and you don't want to be stuck there for 572 days shitting in a bucket.
You're listening to We Die First, a podcast for black horror fans by black horror fans.
Spooky Squad!
Hello, Spooky Squad.
It's a sunshiny day. I'm in my living room right now. It's very lit with natural light, and I'm loving it.
I love that for you. Me too. It feels like spring is almost sprung.
Almost sprung.
Yeah. Be sure to take your Claritin, your Zyrtec, for my allergy girlies out there. It's rough.
Yeah, I guess I just have this perfect healthy body. That's funny because I don't have allergies, but it's far from perfect in literally every other aspect.
Okay, it's so funny that you said that. Can I talk some shit?
About me?
No,
just
about
people that don't have allergies.
No. So, no, speaking of you saying like, oh, I'm perfectly healthy. So Anchor/Spotify for podcasters always changes like their like setup. If anybody is listening as a podcaster and has used it, they're always like going through some sort of transition. Okay. But there's this like feature where I guess if you listen to the podcast on Spotify, it has a question like, what do you think about this episode? I didn't realize that actually it was collecting feedback. Like actual feedback. I didn't know that I could see it, right? So I was looking at it today and we got someone was mad at you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They're probably listening and they're like, this is very serious. Do you remember the episode when you were talking about finding out that you like were borderline diabetic or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, yeah, and I fixed that and my blood pressure, and now I'm going to celebrate by, like, eating a bunch of salt or something, right? I only remember because I actually went back to the episode to re-listen. They were not happy. They were like, a disease that, like, kills so many people. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, if we're trying to do damage control, we're doing it very poorly right now.
Oh, I'm not doing damage control because this person also left a message. Listen, I've never been somebody who, like, really, like, listens to negative feedback. Like, we grew up on the internet, don't read the comments, I'm this. But this same person then said, like, oh, they didn't like that we do the deadbeat dad joke because they're like, oh, do they want, like, a pat on the back for, like, keeping their promise to their listeners? And I'm like, that's kind of the joke.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't think you can really the part of the joke is also that, like, it's a silly podcast and I'm not your dad.
Yeah.
And I'm not late on your child support payments and putting in years of therapy. But, yes, this person, you know, it just made me think. And let me know if I'm being cringe and even talking about negative feedback, because a lot of this feedback we actually got was very, very positive. So thank you all for being so lovely. My gripe with this person wasn't so much they had negative feedback, is that it was so unconstructive. And just like, hey, just remember, the people making your little silly podcast, they're people. Sometimes they don't give you the podcast and they say they're going to because things happen. Like, I don't know, their dad dies. So... maybe.
Yeah.
Let's just be nice, okay?
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
And it's also, yeah, not to defend myself, but it's like, Spooky Squad, health is serious. But I'm like, I didn't also then say, none of this is real, don't fucking trust doctors. Like, hearing everything you just said just made me think of this rant I was, hearing this comedian go off on. A good rant. But it was just like, it's very easy to call someone stupid if they're doing satire or a joke because we have to operate on the same basic principles of truth. You know, it's like if I make a joke about the moon landing, but you don't believe we've ever visited the moon.
I'm just kidding.
You know, it's like, so then you can't be satirical because that person isn't operating in the same truth sphere as you. So I'm just like, yeah, the bit is You have to keep up your health to stay healthy. One can't do it once and then be, it doesn't matter. Thank you for the feedback, person. I'll have you know that I ate that massive amount of salt one day and I went back to being healthy. So yeah, your comment helped. No. Thank you. We're salty.
I feel like I had to talk about salt. I just feel like I had to tell you because it was so funny to me. And the thing is, when I read the comment, I was like, when we record the podcast, even like, I'm going to edit this right after. I'm going to re-listen to some of this and forget everything we said. It'd be like, it'll be like listening to the first time because I'm fully in a fugue state. So when they were like, I didn't appreciate you making fun of this serious illness, I was like, oh shit, like what did we say? Like I was like, oh my God, I have to listen to this. Like where did we say something about, like what the fuck did we say? And then when like I got to what it was, I was like, are you kidding me? maybe they're actually doing a bit. And if so, you got me.
Yeah, actually this whole time they're like, yeah. I was like feeling really good today and this just made it that much better.
I love that. I love that for you. I love that for you because I think that you deserve to have happy things happen to you and not sad, spooky things happen to you as a child.
Yeah. That really suck as a child, even as an adult. But
honestly, I didn't know what the fuck was happening in this movie, so I'm trying my best, okay?
Yeah.
Trying my best out here, buddy.
Yeah. Spooky Squad. We watched Skinamarink.
Yes, Skinamarink.
That's where that ends. March, what if that was the episode where just like we watched it? That was it.
Bye. Stay spooky, y'all. Bye bye. No.
We kid. We're operating on the shared truth that we're kidding.
Yes, we're operating on the shared truth that we're a bunch of silly boys. It's March Madness. So we are digging back into some cool psychological, mind-bending spookies. And we decided to start off with Skinamarink, which was something that we both had not really watched before. From 2000, yes. Why did I say 2000? In my brain, I was thinking
2020 something.
I was thinking 2022. Directed by Kyle Edward Ball. It's like an experimental analog horror film about two children who find themselves trapped in their house by a demon? By something? A force?
You don't know.
This shit was scary, though. In like a, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. It was, I think I appreciated it more than I thought I would. And like enjoyed the experience. You know what I will give it objectively fucking 10 out of 10 marks for? Being a cool hour 40. Like, we didn't need this to be a fucking 2.5 hour venture, you know?
Yes. I'll also give it 10 out of 10 for just doing something interesting. Like, I will always, even if I watch something or engage with some sort of entertainment that I'm like, I don't really get this, I will always appreciate that they did something cool or different. Because I think, especially in this age where we're always complaining about, like, no one's making original art anymore, which isn't true. Mm-hmm. It's just not being funded. Okay? People weren't out here striking for nothing. But it's always refreshing to find something that's just like, this is totally different. And, you know, I think especially in the horror genre, I think it's always welcome to just, like, see something completely different from what you're used to. Yeah. Yeah.
Good old Canadian film.
Eh. Listen, Canadian horror is dope. I'm gonna give the Canadians their
props,
flowers.
Their flowers,
yes, because a lot of really great horror has come out of Canada over like the decades. So, you know, shout out. Let's hear it for the Canucks. Is that racist?
No, is it?
I don't know. Canuck just sounds like in my head. It sounds like it's a slur. Like, is that like okay to say?
We'll find out, won't we? Check Spotify after this.
Sound in the comments. Was that racist? Like, I actually don't know. I'm actually dumb as hell.
Oh, God. We're such a delight. I love us so much.
I love us so much, too. Are you ready to talk about this film? Actually, no. I think before we talk about it, though, we do have to... I feel like we have to talk about, like, the production in general, like, the development of this. Because it's... There's, like, a little bit of a backstory.
Let us... Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah. So, Kyle Edward Ball, who directed the movie... originally used to run this YouTube channel called Bite Size Nightmares, and basically he would encourage his watchers or his viewers to leave comments about nightmares they had, and he'd recreate them. So Skinamarink was actually inspired by one of these type of nightmares, and this idea of, like, when he was little, he had this dream where he was, like, in his parents' house, his parents went missing, and there was a monster, and he kind of went from there. Which I think is kind of cool. And I think that where this movie really excels is, like, kind of capturing that kind of childhood horror where it's, like, it's disjointed and confusing.
It was nice little things, too, that he did. You know, at first, because, you know, it's, like, not found footage, but it's, like, filmed, like, on a fucking tape recorder. Or, like, yeah, you know.
Like a VHS.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, like, you, but everything is shot. It's weird because it's not always from the perspective of the kids. It's just, like, kind of, sometimes these interesting shots. But if it's not objectively, like, odd, like, coming from the ceiling, it is always the height of a child.
Yes.
And yes. I thought that was very effective. It was a very uncomfortable movie in every way, shape, and form. And that they used, like, the, like, you know, publicly licensed, like, just free to use cartoons from, like, the early part of the 1900s, and it's just, like, that kind of vaudeville, like, jazz playing in the background the whole time, and you're like, this is so unsettling.
Yeah, I think, but to your point about just, like, how it's so uncomfortable, I think it so effectively captures kind of, like, the discomfort of childhood. Because you think about it, like, being a kid is an uncomfortable experience. Like, as much as we have, like, we might have fond memories of our childhoods, there's also just, like, the fact that you're so vulnerable, you know so little, and, like, you know, you're really piecing together a lot of your experiences through a lens that's, like, very immature and very limited. And I think that's what makes this work so well, because it is, like you said, like, filming it from the height of a child, so it's, like, you can't quite see everything. So it's, like, I know I'm scared, though, but, like, I also don't know why, but I just know that this is scary and just, like, feeling unsettled. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've thought about that more and more now that I have a nephew who's growing up, and just kind of, like, looking at how he engages with the world and just, like, wow, like, you really, like, when you were so small and you just, like, don't know, you don't know shit, kid, like,
yeah, like, these kids are just objectively stupid.
Like, he doesn't know anything. He just, like, does things that, like, don't make sense to us because we're adults. But, like, to him, it's like he has his own little world. And that's what this movie feels like. It's its own little spooky world.
Yeah.
For children. And also just, like, oh, God, seeing kids in danger also just is unsettling and uncomfortable.
There's, like, I read this thing, too, and I think this helped me put me in a better mindset, because I did watch this at, like, fucking 9 in the morning. But it was saying, like, there's this one reviewer, and it's, like, it's a movie that begs you to be patient, and the reward, like, the payoff is, like, your reward. And I'm like, okay. I was like, just be in it. Just be invested. Which then made me more uncomfortable, because I'm truly being invested in, like, the viewpoint of this child. And then I was like, yeah, no, that helped put you in the right state of mind.
Right, exactly. And also to note, this was one that, like, I only heard about Skidamarink because of Twitter. I didn't see any sort of ad for this. Like, it was a movie that really blew up because of, like, word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, like, it was also leaked online, but a lot of stuff through, like, Reddit, TikTok, Twitter, which kind of, like, is how it got around, which makes sense, because I feel like a movie like this is not, like, it suits the way that it was, like, kind of communicated across all the youngins, who, young and old, who like this movie. But now, if you want to, shall we get into it?
Let us get into it.
All right. So the movie starts off, we are, like, in the 90s, And it's like a lot of how the story is told, like you said, happens off camera, and it's like there's people talking, and then they'll be like, sometimes there'll be a subtitle, sometimes there isn't, but it's like you're kind of piecing it together as you go along. But essentially the plot, it starts off is that you have this little boy and his older sister, and he hurts himself, and he's somebody who he sleepwalks. Right? Do you sleepwalk? Have we ever talked about sleepwalking on this podcast? Do you sleepwalk?
I don't, and I feel like you must have. That seems like something we would have talked about by this point.
Right. Yeah, I have. I have in the past. Apparently, I almost, like, left my house when I was a little kid. My mom just, like, told me that randomly. She's like, yeah, once you, like, were, like, fully going to, like, the front door to, like, walk out of the house.
Could you imagine how terrifying that would be as a parent to just, like, your kids just, like, you're like, hey, come back, and they're just not listening to you? It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, my mom's is African too, so she was probably getting pissed, and then she was like, oh, she's asleep.
Which didn't make her any less mad, but she did pick up that I was asleep.
Yeah, she still threatened to send me back. And I was like, what? Anyway, so he's a sleepwalker. He goes to the hospital, but everything happens in the house, so we find out he did go to the hospital, and he's been brought back home. But in the middle of the night, the little boy and girl, their names are Kevin and Kaylee. They wake up and they can't find their dad, which is like a typical childhood like nightmare of like, I cannot find the people who are responsible for me. And I'm a baby. So he's gone. And then like slowly other things in the house start to like disappear, like the doors, the window. But it's like, it's very much like, where's the door?
It's like, also very subtle. Like if you're not paying attention, you know, if you're just like lackadaisically like, oh, I'm on my phone too, blah blah blah, like, and that's when I realized I had to not be that way, because I was,
yeah, you have to.
And like, then like I was watching it, just like, where'd it go? And I was like, oh, where what go? And I like rewinded it, and I was just like, oh shit, the window is gone, because the blinds are still there, but the window itself is gone. I'm like, I have to pay attention so intensely.
Yeah, this movie definitely, it felt very, like, creepypasta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, right? Like, r/no sleep, which is kind of just perfect, you know? I love a good creepypasta.
Yeah, and, you know, I think did we mention this? Like, truly, such little dialogue. You don't really see anyone's face, really, ever.
No,
like, few instances, but you like, yeah, and but you like barely see people, you like, and then even just like the kids, you like might see them from like the knee down, but like their knees, so the cameras must be sitting on the floor, you know?
Yeah, or like you'll just like a toy,
yeah,
and then like you hear them talking in the background, and it's, and then like you still have like the like in the background,
yeah.
It's very upsetting. I hate those fucking cartoons. They're fucking creepy. So things are starting to disappear. And they wake up at one point and they hear like a noise. But like now some like weird like alien geometries are happening, because like they find a chair that's like on the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, is this when they also, like, the toilet disappears? And this was I thought this was very funny. It was insane. Because they're like, the toilet's gone, but, you know, their kids have to go. So you just see them, like, it must be, like, Kaylee, the older one, throws these buckets in the bathroom. And Kevin's just like, gross. And then it just cuts to the next scene. And I was like, that was fucking hilarious. Truly the only tension release in the entire movie.
But truly, because the entire time you're just watching, like, and it's you know, okay, how would I suggest you watch this movie? I watched it, like, on my laptop, like, in the dark. I feel like it's really good. Like, something about it, like, yeah, it made it really creepy. Because it feels almost like, I think because so much of it feels almost, like, voyeuristic, too. That, like, I'm almost happy I didn't watch it, like, in a theater, like, on a movie screen. I'm like, no, I kind of like the idea of, like, you watch it, like, in your room, lights off. On your laptop. Shit, I might even suggest your phone. Like, it actually might just be like, this is just a fucked up, like, weird snuff film. I'm like, I found the internet and I'm watching. And that's what it feels like you're watching. It's just like, oh, it's like fucked up. Like, where this, cause it's like from the dark web. Yeah, that's how I felt.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So yeah, no, the bathroom bit is funny. So it, yeah, the, it, that's around the same time that it disappears. So, and also like, their mom is like also not there either. So it's like, they're fully like by themselves. Mm-hmm. What happens? Oh, that's when they start hearing the voices, right?
Yeah. Like it's like talking to Kaylee. And it was like, and it's like upstairs. And then she goes and it must be like the parents' bedroom, right? And then she sees her dad, but we only see him from like, he's sitting on the edge of the bed and we don't see his head. We only see him from like his waist up. And he's just like, look under the bed. And I'm like, oh God, what's gonna happen? And nothing, you know, she looks and you're terrified. She pops back up and then he's just like, look again, and she does, looks up, comes back, and he's gone, but then his mom, or her mom is there on the other side of the bed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's that? She's handling this very well.
She is. Kaylee honestly has her shit together until she doesn't.
Truly. Very adult-like of her, actually.
I know, very, what do they always say on the internet, like a firstborn daughter thing, like. She's like, yeah, she's like handling us for a support daughter. I beg to differ. My sister calls me for help all the time. So I don't buy that. I don't buy it one bit. Yeah, so yeah, nothing really happens, but there's like fucked up noises and shit. Like this movie is very difficult to explain.
Yeah.
Like we've said nothing, but it's just like I feel like you have to see it.
It's all just, yeah, like I mean, realistically, there aren't many big things to be like, this is the anchor in the plot. So like that, I mean, the thing we just talked about with like the apparitions of the parents, like that's pretty much it. Cause the mom is just like, I love you. Blah, blah. And then Kaylee turns around and then voices are coming from the closet. And then we get a hand come out of the closet and it's very subtle. It's not like a overt jump scare, spooky thing, but like Kaylee screams. That is actually what alerted me to that something happened. Cause I like almost missed it. And then it's just, yeah. A lot of slow burning of like the kids just being kids, being like, I'm scared. Can we watch TV? And then it's just the being in the room with only the lighting of the TV on their like Legos and shit for like 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah. But I mean, I was a very, throughout the movie, it just kind of forced me to think a lot about being a kid. And like, I remember like, I would stay up very late, like on the weekends and summer breaks. I did not have a bedtime. I had a bedtime during school, but like when school was closed, like I could just do what I want. So I would just be like up. And it just reminded me of just being like up watching TV, like in the dark by myself. Truly just like watching anything and how like it was fun, obviously, because I'm watching TV. But like there was always something just a little bit creepy about it. Even if I was watching in my mom's room, I always just felt a little bit like unsettled. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's just
I hadn't thought about that in such a long time. But it's like, yeah, there's something just very scary.
Just the ambiance and the scene of, like, even if your, like, parent was there. Like, my dad was, like, the stereotypical dad passed out watching something late at night. So it's just the glow of the TV. He's, like, in a fucking armchair. But then, it's like, that light only goes so far. And then you're like, what's that in the kitchen?
Right. It's, like, still dark as hell, you know? I wonder if kids, like, I guess now it's, like, the glow of the iPad or cell phone,
which is even smaller, so I'd be even more terrified.
Right, like at least the TV like kind of fills the room a little bit, but like fuck, my phone is new shit. But yeah, even when there's like an adult in the room, it's still fairly scary shit. Even now, if I'm like in bed but I can't sleep and I decide, because I'm crazy, I'm like, I'm gonna read some scary stories. I'm truly so scared. Evan's like right next to me. I'm like, I'm still so scared, like what if what if he's not him? Like,
I'm like, oh my God.
Like, what if I turn around and he's the rake? Like, I'm just very, dude. Like, I'm stupid. Anyway, so.
Kaylee goes missing around this time at some point. Like, she goes to check something and she's gone now.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because he falls asleep. Kevin falls asleep and then she hears a voice again, she leaves, I guess, or she just disappears. And he wakes up and she is now gone. And now, like, some more toys and shit are, like, hanging from the wall.
Yeah.
against the wall. Like, everything's, like, fucking, like, fucked up.
Yeah. We eventually, I mean, again, this goes on for a good chunk of time, but then we get the voice telling Kevin to go to the basement, and then we fucking find Kaylee, and then the only shot we get of Kaylee's face is her with no eyes or mouth.
Right. I'm like, and up until this point, the movie has just been like, oh, creepy thing, and then it's like, oh, God. Like,
yeah, what? This creepy thing's really creepy.
I'm like, oh, yeah, this is, like, very serious. Like, girl, like, hey, girly, like, where's your eyes? Where's your mouth?
Yeah, like, I thought it was just Poltergeist at worst, you know, like, just putting some, like, chairs on the ceiling, some weird shit. But it was like, oh, you can take my face? Never mind. We have a real problem.
Oh, yeah, this is serious. And, like, and the voice is like, hey, like, you want to play?
Yeah, yeah, it's...
And, like, and still at this point, we just have no idea, like, what is this thing? Is it a ghost? Is it a demon? Like, is it an alien? What is, like, what is terrorizing these poor children?
Yeah. Yeah, like, truly the next big thing we get is, like, this, like, voice. Like, it makes a, like, cabinet open up or something, and then there's a knife in it, like a box cutter or something. And then the voice is just, like, put it in your eye. And then the next thing is, like, the camera at a distance, and you just hear fucking Kevin wailing because he stabbed himself in the eye. And which was so effective not showing it or like anything related. Like the closest you got is like you must have, like the camera must have been in like a room next to the kitchen because then the like crying got louder, but then it would be soft again because it would move away and then like a thud because he presumably passed out. And I was just like, oh. What the fuck is this demon?
Yeah, it's like unfathomable. And at this point, doesn't he call? Like
he calls 911. Like fucking good on it. And then this scene really got me. Because I think like this is like the ramping up now. Even though there's still a lot of just like slow burning. There's no not slow burning in this movie, but like as far as things ramping up, like this is kind of the start of it. And because he's just on, you know, talking to the dispatcher and it's like, who's there? It's like, oh, it's just me. And then the dispatcher's like, how old? You said you're 4. And then like the tone is like, OK, can you be like my brave little guy? Can you be brave? But then it was just like, why are you whispering if no one's there? And I'm like, oh, God, what's going to happen?
Yeah. And the fucking phone turns into like one of those little play phones.
Yeah.
Isn't that so upsetting? Do they still make that?
Probably. That seems like a timeless toy.
Yeah. Spooky Squad, you remember, it's like a little plastic phone and it has like a little face on it. I feel like we all had one. Had one. Yeah. Also, this movie made me very nostalgic for like childhood toys. Yeah. Like, do you have any memories of like a toy that you just like really fuck with when you're a little kid?
You know, are you asking me or are you posing that for Spooky Squad?
I'm asking you, but let's I also see. Would love to hear them tell me too.
Oh God, truly, this is insane because I just was thinking about this yesterday. Like someone had this same conversation with me, and I was like, "Oh, this thing," and I forgot. God, what toy brings me back? I don't know. What about you? Anything pop off the top of your memory?
I do remember this one. I mean, there's the obvious, like, Barbies. I had a lot of those. But one that I used to love so much, I got it. I think it was, like, the like Christmas of, like, 96, maybe, or 97. And I was really into gymnastics because that was the year, like, Dominic Dodds and all them, you know, won gold and just my hometown. And there was this, like, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, a robot gymnast. Like, she was on, like, an uneven bar. But there was a cord and you could like control her and get her to do like flips on it. And I was truly like, I've been looking for that toy for like, I'm legit like, if I find that on like eBay, I might buy it. But like, I used to spend hours just like doing the controllers and just having her do flips. And I'm like, yeah, bringing home a gold for Team USA. It was so great. I love that toy so much.
You know, toy, I actually think about like, loving being a young boy, loving this action figure shit. It was these Power Ranger action figures, but they were like in they were like mostly in their suit, but then it was like their head with no helmet. But then when you pulled on like their morpher on their belt, it would like do a quick change and their head would swap to their helmeted head.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, I remember having those. Those make me think of being like 5 or something.
Mm, yeah.
So that takes me back.
Oh, man. Yeah, I miss having toys. Bring back toys for adults, not adult toys.
But like, I don't know, man. Cause
I want a little toy.
You have like... Now, you know, it's like all these things. Like, I'm cool. I have Ghostbuster memorabilia. Some would call them toys, and they're accurate. But it's cool because you're like, I would have killed to have this at 10, and now I'm in my 30s, and I can afford it with no murder necessary.
I think that's great. Also, do you actually, like, are you somebody who keeps those things in the box, though, or do you, like, open the box?
No, I take them out because they're cool.
No, good for you. Because I think your young, little you would be really pissed if they saw growing up you.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, man, you have this guy. And then he like, you don't play with it. He'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what is wrong with you? We've always wanted this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you know, they come with little display stands. I was like, yeah, I'm going to display it.
Good. I think so. I think that's good. Like, yeah, not to knock people who like collector's items, but I am like, you just took that toy away from a kid who having a blast with it, and now you're just like, you just got it like a shrine. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Open that bad boy up. So like now it turns into a little phone, and it's like, oh, I can do anything. Basically play with him. I'm just like, that's fucked up, man.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then we just get like, he was just like, what happened? He was like, can I watch something pleasant or something? And then a door like finally appears and he opens it. And it's like just this shot of like a dollhouse on top of a pile of toys. But we're viewing it like upside down and it just keeps backing up in what is it? An endless hallway. And then we get the fucking dialogue, we get 572 days goes across the screen, and I'm like, what?
Yeah,
has
like,
this boy just been in limbo for like fucking
this, yeah,
which if you're a kid and you're terrified in any capacity, it's like a dog not knowing like how long you've been gone. I feel you're like, I have been scared for 5 years, even though it's only been an hour.
Yeah, whenever I come home, when we come back home from out and Hendrix is waiting for us, I'm just like, he really thinks we've been gone for days. And it's been like 2 hours.
Aww.
Oh, he doesn't know. seemingly he's been in this like weird void for like over a year. Later we see like a woman and she's like on a bed and like she fades and then like there's like photos of people, but like their faces are missing too. And then we get this weird fucked up loop where it's like Kevin is like crying and there's like a blood splatter and it disappears and it happens again. And it's like, are these children just like in hell? Like, what is it? And why?
Yeah.
Why them?
Yeah, what did these Canadians do in 1995?
Right. Like, I don't even know enough Canadian pop culture to be like that. But like, I don't know. Oh, they brought Snow to us. That white rapper. Remember Snow? Informer. That guy. I blame them for Informer. Wow, you don't know it's Snow? That's crazy. He had a debut album called 12 Inches of Snow. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, God.
That's
stupid.
It is stupid. I agree. I don't know why anyone allowed that. But anyway, so he's in this like endless loop where I guess Kevin's just getting stabbed. I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. And then eventually... and like he some I can't remember. It's all a weird blur. But then he's like, can I watch? That's when he's like, can I go watch like something nice? Because he's like, I guess to fall asleep to. And then he goes and he's like, he's in bed. He gets to finally lie down in a bed. And then this barely visible face kind of appears. And then he just asks what its name is a couple times, but it never answers. Fucking Kevin is handling it very well. If something just appeared out of the dark hovering above me, I'm not asking what its name is. I'm hoping it feels pain when I punch it in its non-eyes.
But, I mean, considering what Kevin's been through up until this point, though, like, a face hovering at you is, like, the least of his troubles.
That's true.
It's like, what now? What's your name, huh?
Yeah, he's and actually, yeah, answers. He's just super tough at this point. He's just like, he's been in hell for almost 1.5 years, and he's just like, who are you? Who's trying to he's fuck like, with me now?
I'm 5 and a half now.
Yeah, he's like, that would have flown when I was 4, but not today.
Remember half ages being like meaning something?
I kind of view half ages and all that shit. And I say this jokingly, this is the context. It's a joke. I know it's important. But like, you know, you're like your friends and family that have kids and they're like 2 and a half. Oh my God. Like, what a milestone. And it always, I know it's like cute and adorable, but it always hits me with the same energy of like high school relationships being like, we've been dating for 3.5 months now. And I'm like, great, cool. Hit me up at the year mark. That's where you get my accolades.
But you see, I remember in high school, 3.5 months was like long. It was like, damn, like
that was a third of the year.
Yeah, it's like you guys have been together for like ever. It's like 3.5 months.
You made it through at least 2 dances.
That's huge. You made it through at least 1 cast party. And you know those get crazy. You know?
Oh my God. But I mean, that's it.
That was Skidamarink.
Boy,
I feel like anybody who's listening who like just likes to hear us talk about the movies and that don't necessarily watch it are probably just like,
what the fuck is this?
What did you guys just say? I mean, that is that kind of a movie. I promise you all of the movies this month will not be like Skidamarink. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I like this movie, but like they will be a little bit more, have more concrete plot. This was just something experimental and different, which might not be your jam, which is cool. Like, you know,
yeah,
that's fine. Everything's not for everybody.
And, you know, just to cut it off at the start, how would this be different if it was a black movie? I don't really think that pertains to this movie.
I didn't once think about race watching this shit.
Yeah. I just kept thinking, what is the thing?
What the fuck is it? I'm trying to think. Well, we both had siblings. How would it be different if it was you and one of your siblings as the children?
So interesting, because I'm a middle child technically.
Okay.
Because like my older siblings are like 12 years older than me. So if I was like the young one and then if I was 4, then my fucking next, like the next person that was going to be trying to take charge would be a 16-year-old, which I think is a very different vibe than like a 4 and 6-year-old just being equally as lost, I think, in the world.
Very.
But if it was me and my little brother, I don't know. I think I actually just play out pretty similarly. Like it would be like me like trying to like kind of lead, but I don't think I'd be as brave as Kaylee. I'd be like, nah, like too much spooky shit. And then I'd be like, we're going to just stay in front of this TV because it's the only source of light in this entire fucking house. We're going to stay here for 1.5 years straight unless you got to go to your fucking shit bucket.
Unless you got to go to your shit bucket.
How about you?
um, Well, similarly, my sister and I have a big age gap. She's 9 years older than me. So if I was 4, she would have been 13. She's a Virgo. Having a Virgo older sister is clutch, because it's like having a mom, another mom, which in some ways can be annoying, but in other ways can be really great. So I think I would feel very protected until those eyes and mouth went dunzo and she disappeared, then I'd be fucked. But I think we would have been pretty resourceful until, I mean, but then again, everything was disappearing. So it's like you had so many resources. No, yeah. I think if I would have lost my mouth, she would have been happy, because she told me I talked too much. So maybe like that would be like a nice little like reprieve for her. She would kind of just like sigh in relief when she realized
that's actually your mouth getting swiped off your face is hell for you, but heaven for your sister.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. She's like, oh, finally, I can, you know, it's the 90s. She could, like, listen to her new Kids on the Block in peace. She's like, thank God. No. No, when she was 13, she was very into, like, Alanis Morissette. I remember her playing a lot of Alanis Morissette. She thought she was a cool grunge teen. But anyway, that was Skidamarink. This month, we have a lot of really great stuff in store. If you're following us on Instagram, you would have already seen it. Next week, we'll be back for The Babadook, followed up by The Invisible Man and Jacob's Ladder. So, very exciting.
Very exciting. The Babadook, a movie one can talk about in not yes. abstract things. We started yes. off strong. It's only going to get truly better from here, at least via our explanations.
I will. I promise you. I feel like we tried our best to extrapolate the best that we can, but like it felt like we're talking about Eraserhead, where it's just like that was just
yeah. Except weird. I did truly enjoy it more than Eraserhead.
I did. I agree. I still listen to that song though. In Heaven, Everything is Fine. Like I still listen to that usually. Yeah, man. But we're about to head out. Andrew, before we leave, do you have any last words?
Don't get an Airbnb in Canada, because chances are there might be an entity that can make anything happen, and you don't want to be stuck there for 572 days shitting in a bucket.
No, you don't. You don't. Especially on a Canadian diet of poutine.
Just poutine and fucking reindeer meat.
Just poutine. You will be pooting. Okay? Like, wait, reindeer? Reindeer meat?
We know a lot about Canada. We know what they eat. We know what they shit in.
Maybe. They speak French sometimes.
Sometimes. They're very into how they speak French.
Yeah, I'm like, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. You're from Quebec. Yeah. You're from North America like me. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and stay spooky, y'all.
Stay spooky.
Bye-bye.